She was terribly nearsighted. She was about 10, I think, or 11, and failing in school, and, well, she just couldn't see. She could see something probably, 3 inches maybe from her face as she could see something. But the rest of it was nothing but one great big blur. So I was so enthusiastic about the contact lens, I told the parents I'd like to try it. Oh, they'd do anything, you know, to help the little girl. And so I called up Wesley and, why don't you make me up a minus 15 lens? That was terrible. Most nearsighted people are about a 3. That's about an average, about a minus 3. So I think it was about a 15 or something like that power. Polish the edges the best you can. So they did. Later on, there was a guy down in Cuba that learned how to put an edge on a piece of plastic. That made the contact lens world. He learned how to turn a piece of plastic fast enough, I guess, to get the edge so that the lid could go over the thickness and the person could wear it. A successful contact lens wearer originally was about 3 hours. We didn't know about oxygenation, tear flow, just had one lens. I put the lens on the little girl, and I had gone down to the drugstore and gotten one of these little dropper, the rubber bumpers that are on top of a eyedropper, and I'd gotten some sterile water, put it on her, and she opened her eye up real wide. She just went wild. It's so big out there. Later on, several years later, after we got lenses and knew a little more what to do, she would tell me that why trees do have leaves and birds do fly, things that we take for granted. And she made my day. And for that, the Wesleyan Jessen said that, as far as they knew, I was the first guy in Missouri to fit a contact lens.
So how fast did the revolution of finding out these things about oxygenation, tears,
years, and they're still doing it with the contact lens absorbs the bacteria very rapidly. And there are all kinds of things now, like the oxygen goes right through the plastic. The holes in the plastic are bigger than the molecules of the oxygen. And so they can ride right on the cornea and still cornea gets the oxygenation. Now, it's been about 20 years, so I'm not very knowledgeable about what some of the new stuff that's out there.
So it was really just trial and error. And you said that at the beginning it was plexiglass that they used?
Plexiglass out of the bomber nose, yeah. They'd just break it up and chip. They'd chuck it up just like you'd chuck up a piece of wood in a lathe, but the lathe was a dental drill. How they make these plastic contact lenses that float on the tears now, I don't know how they make those. They must drop them into a mold of some kind.
So this is one example with this little girl.
I finally got 2 contact lenses, and she could wear the contact lenses. I got her up to about 8 hours, and then she'd have to take them off. But every time something new came out, I'd call her up and say, come on down here, let's give it a try. And I wasn't smart enough to patent the things that I discovered. And I, at the same time, not that I'm so great, but I was also doing research on my own about visual training, visual therapy. And that's what I lectured about all over the country. My best lecture was in New York. I was real proud of that.
Why was it your best one, your favorite one? Was it the subject?
Well, it went over the best. Most of the seminars I went to, all these schools, they didn't know any more than I did, because the guys were just doing the 21 points, 21 examinations, and they were using that instead of trying something new and seeing what would happen. You can do it one way and then find out. It is just wonderful to have a teacher call up and say, my gosh, what did you do to this child? Boy, that's everything.
So you would travel around and share these things you were finding.
That's
if
right.
You do this,
that's right.
You get this result.
That's or... right. That's what I lectured on. A guy by the name of Skeffington was the originator, and it was called the OEP, Optometric Extension Program. It extended the information that the optometrists got. I'd happen to be one of those guys that I just couldn't stand the status quo. I had to try something new.
So now, you were here, you practiced 49 years in Mexico, is that right?
49, right here.
Now, you said you didn't want a big practice, but it turned into that.
Sure did.
If I remember you correctly, people were coming from all over, and you were doing...
I was doing visual training.
Could you talk about that a little? Because I think hear an optometrist, they think of somebody who just is at the...
At Walmart.
At Walmart, or they have a... Yeah. It's completely different what you did.
Yeah.
Can you just talk about
There was about 3% of the optometrists that got the bug that I got of trying to research. One of my guys here in town was a barber. So he came up to me and said he was seeing two of everything.